What part of Arizona are you in, Travis?
Snowflake.
Travis, want to shoot you right off the bat here. There's a lot of controversy going on about your story, and I think you've kind of stirred up some problems in the UFO circles and so forth. How do you feel about people saying, I don't believe what you're telling me is the truth?
Well, you know, it depends on who they are. I can't blame some people for being skeptical. I mean, you know, it's an extremely incredible thing, you know, that I find it hard to handle myself. You know, I think that for people to pass judgment before, you know, examining all the evidence is kind of unfair, but, you know, to each his own, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. Can't take it personally, you know, it's just, you know, there are plenty of people who do believe me, people who know me, and, you know, I'm never neither here nor there about it.
Have you been exposed to the Betty Hill star map, Travis?
I've heard about it.
Did you at any time during your encounter see anything like that? Did the beings that examined you or captured you show you or tell you anything about where they were from?
No, they didn't tell me anything. I did see stars. It was some kind of I don't know whether it was a map or just a viewing screen of where the thing was, but I didn't recognize any patterns.
Could you describe, this is Terry Dickinson speaking, Travis.
Yeah.
Could you describe anything in connection with some stars or points that may have even remotely resembled a map? Was it in a frame, in a circle, overhead, in midair? Can you remember?
Well, there was a room, and it was kind of like a planetarium thing. I mean, you could see stars in every direction.
From the horizon upward or all around?
All around, even through the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the floor, I don't know which it was, but I know a few constellations, you know, I don't know their names, but, you know, things that I'm familiar with, but I didn't see any constellations that I recognized.
Could you tell me if the number of stars appeared to be greater or lesser than you would see it on a clear night in Arizona?
On a clear night in Arizona, you can see a heck of a lot of stars. It might have been about the same, maybe more.
Do you have any recollection of a concentration of stars, such as the Milky Way, or a concentration in any particular spot, or was it sort of...
Yeah, there was kind of like a band, or, you know, like kind of like the Milky Way, but, you know, nothing I recognize, I don't know.
Could you say that it did then resemble the Milky Way?
Yeah, I guess so. You know,
that's very interesting.
Not
yes, that is interesting.
Particular pattern, but like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, you, then it really could have resembled what you would see in a planetarium, a projection of the real sky. It resembled that closer than anything else you can think of.
Yeah, either an actual, I don't know how it's done.
I don't either, not as far as a spaceship is concerned.
Travis, once you were inside the spacecraft itself, were you, like, unconscious and then became conscious after you were inside the craft?
Yeah. When I came to, I was in a lot of pain. And first thing I saw were these aliens standing over me. And, you know, the sight to me and the pain, I just became hysterical.
That's understandable. Did at any time they speak to you? And if so, was it an audible sound or a telepathic sound?
I screamed all kinds of questions at them, and they never said anything. They never opened their mouth. I could hear myself. I could hear, you know, the sound of my movements, but they never said anything.
Did you hear an echo of your own voice?
Yeah. Well, you know, normal. I could hear myself talking.
Were you off the ground, Travis, or do you know?
I don't know. I never felt any movement, you know, like acceleration or anything like that. I couldn't see out any windows unless that projection was showing exactly where the thing was, or if it was just a map. I don't know, but I couldn't, you know, be sure if it was or not. And as far as any sounds of machinery, it was silent.
When you were younger and before this occurred to you, did you know anything about UFOs? Had you ever, were you a science fiction buff or anything like that?
No. I can't say that I'd never heard of the word UFO. I guess everybody has, but I was not a buff.
You're familiar with the anatomy of the creatures that Betty Hill described, I presume, Travis?
Yeah.
Could you state any differences between them?
I'm not real familiar with the description, but generally, I think a verbal description would match. But from the drawings that I've had reconstructed and the ones she's had, I understand there's some differences, but I don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
It may just be a difference of description or something like that. But I don't know.
I'm interested in the mouth in terms of communication or any method of communication through signals or sounds that you detected between among them.
Well, there was hand gestures. I mean, I guess you could kind of call it that. When I was screaming at them and they were coming towards me, they put their hands out. Kind of like a hold it kind of a gesture, but... That's about it. I didn't see their mouth move. I never saw whether they had teeth or anything like that. If there's such thing as telepathy, and if they were trying to communicate with me, I would have been a bad receptor because I was just hysterical.
Yeah.
How long? Excuse me, Terry. Go ahead.
Sure. I'm wondering about the. They were attempting to communicate with you through hand signals. Did you detect any method that they were communicating among each other, or were they simply going about their duties?
I don't know, but when I threatened them and they stopped, they all stopped at once, and when they left the room, they all turned and left at the same time. Now, whether they had some kind of inaudible or mental communication that I, maybe there was some signal there that I missed, but they acted in unison.
Mm-hmm.
How were they dressed, Travis?
They had on the coveralls, just one-piece clothing down to the wrists, up to the neck. It was just kind of a coverall of brownish, orange, tannish, I don't know.
It was definitely, though, not their flesh. There was a distinct difference between the clothing and the flesh.
Yeah. You could tell it was... kind of material. I couldn't see a weave in it, coarse fabric, but I got the impression it was kind of a material.
What about the texture of the skin and the color?
Pale white, chalky looking.
Any texture, or was it smooth?
It was pretty smooth. In the bends in their hands, when they put them out towards me, I could see that when they bent their fingers, it didn't wrinkle quite like ours. It kind of had a rounded fold look. I don't know what that means.
You think there was any chance that they may have been robots, Travis?
Boy, that would be a sophisticated piece of machinery, but I guess anything that would function as a being for that purpose would be undetectable because they looked alive to me.
Did you see any semblance of living characteristics like blinking of eyes
hair? Oh boy, those eyes were very large I tell you, that was the scariest part of the whole thing. The way they looked at me, it just seemed like they looked right through me. And their eyes were so large that when they blinked, it was very striking. Wham.
Were they male? Did you get the feeling they were men or women, or male or female, I guess would be better?
I couldn't tell. I don't know.
Travis, Jack Kennicott here. When Betty Hill was with us, she described the eyes of the aliens that she saw and mentioned the fact that they seemed to wrap around the head somewhat. Did you find this to be the case?
I don't know. They were just extremely, extremely large, but I wouldn't say they wrapped around their head.
Did you notice a color to the eyes?
Yeah, they were brown.
Brown in the pupil and iris and,
yeah,
and white in the rest?
Uh-huh.
Not trying to get away from the description, but I'm sure most skeptics would probably like to know if you had any enemies at that time that really wanted to see you put out of action for a while.
No, none.
What about the other people, Travis? I believe there were six of you all together, so there was five, no, there were seven of you all together, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened to the other six people? Are they, are you still friends?
We're on friendly terms, but they're scattered all over the place. One of them's living in New Mexico, one of them's living in Texas, one southern Arizona, all over.
Now, you have a book that has been released, I believe, since I talked to you, about your experience. Can you tell us about the book, Travis?
It's called The Walton Experience, the Berkeley... Berkeley Publishing Company published it. I wrote it to set the record straight. I've seen so many accounts that were inaccurate, and it was just really garbled. And what you brought up there at the first, you know, the accusations that were made. I wanted an opportunity to answer each thing and, you know, straighten things out and show things to be the way they really were.
Are you familiar with a book entitled The Ultimate Encounter?
Yeah.
By Bill Barry?
Uh-huh.
Is that an accurate account?
Oh, fairly so. There's a few minor mistakes.
Such as?
Oh, he wrote that the National Enquirer paid me $5,000 for my story, and they didn't. You know, things like that. There was an award that they gave much later for the best, most scientifically valuable case of the year, and I received that, but that was long after the story was written.
Getting back to your book again, Travis, it's Terry Dickinson here. As a journalist, I'm curious to know if you wrote the book on your own, or as many people who have an interesting experience have done, had the assistance of a professional journalist.
I wrote it all on my own.
Very good. Congratulations. It's not easy to do.
Let me ask you a question. Has there been, this feels like, you know, we're policemen giving him a third degree, but there's so many questions we'd like to ask. Was there, or has there been any other encounter since that time, either physically or mentally?
With me?
Yes.
Oh, no. Boy.
One's enough, right?
No way.
Yeah.
Do you wish that it never had happened?
Well, I've gained, you know, in ways I can't really put my finger on, you know, just personal growth, I guess, now that it's all passed. But I think that if it were to happen again, or if I could go back and some way of not making it public, that would have been preferable.
Travis, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 27 right now.
So you were 25 when that happened?
No, I was 22.
22. Oh, it's been that long ago. Time passes really fast. I was 30. I was 26 when that happened. No, I'm just teasing. Do you think that it has made you a more philosophical person?
I'd say definitely.
And what might that philosophy be, if I might get you to share that with me?
Oh, I just think that I think it's kind of broadened my view. I think more in terms of a total universe, you know, more so than, you know, not to get, you know, fanatical about it, or, you know, how some people turn it into a pseudo-religion or something, but, you know, I just think more in totality of things, I think, than the average person tends to.
Do you believe, and I realize I'm asking you now for your own opinion, but do you believe that these beings that captured you were extraterrestrial? Do you think they were something earthbound? What do you think that they were?
I have no solid, nothing solid that would tell me for sure where they were from, but I would tend to believe they were extraterrestrial.
There's other possible explanations, but probably the most likely one would be extraterrestrial.
What are some of those other possible explanations you
think? Well, Dr. Hynek has a sort of an extra-dimensional theory. Some people believe they come from lots of places. Some people, you know, believe they're segments of the devil. And, you know, there's lots of different theories, but I think probably the most likely would be extraterrestrial.
One final question that I would like to ask of you, and then, if gentlemen, if you have anything else to say. I'm a mother myself. I have children of my own, and I've talked with your mother many times. In fact, every time that I've called you, how has this affected your mother? Does she believe your story?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, she knows me better than anybody. Of course, she knows it really happens. I think she's handled it really good. She's kind of adjusted to the same way I have. We tend not to discuss it or talk about it almost at all. You know, when somebody else brings it up,
yeah,
it's just kind of put aside, and we just go on with our normal life. I realize that some people have had similar experiences tend to get wrapped up in the subject. I think that can be, you know, harmful. So I just try to keep things pretty much as normal as possible.
Thanks, Travis.
Thank you, Travis.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.